recap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so if Tom Brady had lost Super Bowl, the Super Bowl 49 against the Seattle Seahawks, and he lost Super Bowl 52 against the Philadelphia Eagles, would we have more sympathy for him? Would we look at him and say, oh my gosh, let's root for him because we're watching greatness kind of slip down the pipe
no.
a little bit?
I don't think we would have any sympathy for him.
No, it's hard to look. The Patriots come with this baggage that's problematic for really putting what they're doing. It's not just, and you really talk to people, it's not just they win all the time. It's not.
No, it's right? The fact that they go all the time.
They go all the time, but it's also, for whatever reason, and I've told people to get over this, right? You need to move on. For some reason, Spygate stinks with them. The Deflategate stinks with them. I think Deflategate had everything to do with more of their success than actually being outraged of a deflation of a football. Because we all know, like we've said before, if Andrew Luck did it, nobody would have cared. Blake Bortles did it, nobody would have cared.
And it was Goodell's flexing his muscle.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. Oh, they made it out to be like Tom Brady, threatened a referee with physical violence. If it didn't, I mean, he made it out to be like it was, Kennesaw Mountain Landis was like, ban them for life. Oh, we're throwing World Series games? No. You talk to people, they still are like, oh, no, Deflategate. I mean, that was horrendous. No, horrendous.
In the moment, we don't have sympathy for the Patriots. Just much as the same, we didn't have sympathy for the Bills when they lost four straight. We had sympathy for the Bills later on in life.
Later on, like, but not at the time.
That was really a bummer for them. But at the time, it's like, God, you guys are there every single year.
I was rooting for the Bills when the last one. I don't think I was rooting for them at any other time, but I think I was rooting for them for the last one. Because I was like, my God, this is super famous. Come on, get one. Give me a break. Going to lose to Dallas again? I mean, because they lost to the Cowboys in back-to-back years, and that was it. No, it was all done.
Not even lost. I mean, they never even showed up to the game.
God. Thurman Thomas couldn't find his helmet. Crazy. All right, we're going to talk more about Super Bowl 53, but the AFC and NFC Championship games. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Tom Brady and the Patriots are there, and so are the Rams. Boston and L.A. Oh, we've seen in the other two sports. How is it going to work in the Super Bowl in Atlanta coming up in 2 weeks? As we roll along in SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so it's Super Bowl number 9 for Tom Brady. It is Super Bowl number 1 for Jared Goff and the LA Rams. Two ways to look at the Rams. You could say, hey, this is the first time the Rams have been in the Super Bowl since 1980 when they lost Super Bowl 14 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Or you could say, which is probably more appropriate, this is the first time the Rams have been to the Super Bowl since losing to the Patriots in Super Bowl 36, which is when they were the St. Louis Rams. Well, I feel bad for the city of St. Louis. They had this team. Then they moved to Los Angeles, and now they don't get to celebrate the success of the Rams.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, all right, let's stop there for a second. They had the Jeff Fisher Rams.
They had the Jeff Fisher Rams.
And the Jeff Fisher Ram was never going to go anywhere.
No, but hold on one second. This franchise is still owned by Stan Kroenke.
Oh, I know.
So let's say
he's trying to soften the blow for St. Louis.
I know, but I'm just saying St. Louis is like, but it's not like when they moved to Los Angeles, they like changed ownership and hired the right people. Like they would have hired the right people that would have tabbed Sean McVay in St. Louis.
Would they?
I don't know. Probably. Maybe. I don't know why they would.
St. Louis, hey, guys, you had the Jeff Fisher Rams. They never were going to make it to the Super Bowl. It's a completely new team.
God, it is. It's totally new. I don't know. It feels like the old. It feels like the LA Rams. It feels very Los Angeles.
Yeah, they feel more team. LA than
it feels
St.
more
Louis.
Very LA.
I don't think Sean McVay would have moved to St. Louis to coach.
Exactly.
He needed to be in LA.
No, he would have been like, oh, this is a nice town, but if you just happen to be in Los Angeles, that might be a better place for me. By the way, Greg Zuerlein, man, he really is Greg the Leg. Those things were blasted.
Yeah, they were.
God, he crushed.
But everyone's saying, "Oh, that last one was good from 70." It's like probably.
I said that. I mean, I was like, as soon as the ball was in the air, I was like, "Super Bowl!"
If I'm Sean McVay, I'm sitting there looking at it, going, "You know what? I might try that
at the end of the first half or something."
The first half, you got nothing else to lose.
Blast one out.
Send one out. See what happens.
You know, the funny thing about watching the Rams yesterday was the play where Jared Goff had to run over to his receiver, and I think it was Woods. Maybe it was Woods. He had to tell him what the play was. And Aikman said the same thing. I've never seen a quarterback do that. Like, run all the way down the side to tell the receiver what the change. That place was loud and loud. I mean, it just to see a quarterback be like, oh, God, I got to run all the way over here. Change of play and barely get the playoff in time. Incredible. And it's incredible that the Saints with a 13-0 lead couldn't just build upon that with that crowd noise, and the Rams still found a way to get back in the game. Because one of the things about being on the road is teams tell you this all the time. You don't want to fall behind early because the crowd does create a problematic situation. Because when you fall behind early in a game, you know, all right, this is not working. I don't want to get crushed here. So I need to calm down. I need to refocus. And it's hard to refocus when you feel like the building is going to collapse on top of you. And they're just causing you to false start, and it's causing your receivers to miss routes, and it's causing you to not be able to get the ball off in time, and everything else that crowds do for the Rams to just go, okay, we're down 13-0. Let's slow down. Let's figure out what we do best, and let's get this game under control. And being able to do that at the Superdome, it's one thing when you trail, like when the Patriots were up 14-0, it's like, okay, wait, I know the Chiefs are really good. I know the Chiefs are at home. Leo, give them a little bit of confidence they can get back in this game. You're down 13-0 on the road at the Superdome in the NFC title game. I mean, you're lucky your eardrums don't burst. Are you kidding me?
I thought for sure. I mean, here's the thing. Yesterday, my son had practice, and I watched the first part of Saints Rams, and I left the game. It was 13. I mean, I think it was 13-0. The Rams were driving. I don't think the Rams had scored yet. But it was just like, you know what? I can deal with going to practice because the game didn't even look close. Now, we were at practice. One of the parents there had their iPad out, and we had the game on, so we were able all to watch the game. It's like, oh, yeah, good son, good hit, son, and just keep watching the game. Had no idea. My son could have been, you know, injured, and I would have known. But it just felt like the game was over. The game was done. I mean, I was, in a way, kind of relieved that, okay, I don't have to see a boring game. And ended up, you know, got to watch an amazing, historic NFC Championship game on an iPad.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're kidding.
So there's my where were you that moment.
Did you enjoy the baseball game? Did your son win?
Oh, no, it was just practice.
Oh, just practice. Okay.
It was just practice. Yeah, I didn't understand. I was like, why are we holding practice today? Don't you know it's Championship Sunday? And, I mean, to make matters worse, the coach of my son's team is a huge Saints fan.
Oh, so I wow, did not, I that's did, dedication.
I did not are you get kidding? It at all. But he is one of those Saints fans who I think was, you know, like the ostrich, you know, put my head in the ground. If they lose, it didn't happen. If it wins, I can celebrate. I think he was too nervous. It was like, no, we're still have practice.
Yeah, no, that's great. Good for him.
Yeah, and it didn't help that we were updating him constantly throughout the game. Right, like, no kidding, my God, man. Look at it. They scored another touchdown. Like, field goal
you're never going to believe this non-call. I can't wait till you see it on tape. Yeah. He's going to blow away by this.
And for all those videos that are coming out of, you know, that non-call or, you know, Saints, there's one that's circulating right now where the Saints lost and the guy punches his TV. Can we all just go out there and say, you know what? This is fake.
Oh, no doubt. Listen. You know why? You know why it's fake? It's fake because there's nobody filming at critical points.
Never.
No one. No one is like, yeah, man, I'm going to throw my phone on while you get ready to watch the last few seconds of this game. You don't mind, do you? No, go ahead. You probably see me celebrating. Click. Oh, start throwing TVs and stuff. Get out of here.
I mean, the only time it's legit, I believe without a doubt that, you know, you're filming the last minute of a game or something like that is in bars.
Yeah, right. That's exactly. People do that all the time, right?
Yeah, there's either a camera set up just to capture that moment, so they can hopefully that bar goes viral, or you know somebody does have their phone out because they, you know, it's a critical moment. That's the only time.
Yeah. No, the ones at home are just they're a little too crazy. Look at my husband. The team won the championship, and he's running around the house screaming on a lasso. Come on, you rewind the tape. And then set it up so you, can, so you and your husband can go viral, maybe get a million hits, and people are like, oh, that's so wonderful. That's how it works.
I mean, every once in a while, there's some, I believe, like there was, you know, there was an older couple from New England, and the New England Patriots, they lost. I can't remember which game it was this year. They lost in incredible fashion.
Oh, the Dolphins, yeah.
Yes, the Dolphins, and I believe that that one was real. But I also feel that the younger couple who was filming their grandparents already knew the outcome.
You're right.
They said, "Let's." Yes. We already know the outcome. Let's film grandparents on this play, then make that go viral. I'm sorry, I will be skeptical on that, but yeah, it's because I know this for a fact, and it's probably the same in your household too, Tony. That if you watched a game and all of a sudden were so enraged, so like you know, you just need to hit something, and you punched your TV. I mean, not only are you feeling bad about it, but how's you know what's the first reaction out of your wife?
She would be like, wait a minute, this isn't going to work. Exactly. I think I better be contacting a lawyer soon if this is how you mentally like, break down.
You know, it's like every single time I see one of these, it's like your first reaction. And the only time I believe that, okay, you actually did punch a hole in your TV is because you have one that you're replacing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That you have one sitting in a closet that's, you know, it was a present. Like, I just, this one's going out anyways, but let's do something dramatic with it.
Let's get viral. I don't, these videos are crazy. I don't trust 90% of them. It's so crazy. I mean, there's so many good benefits from having something you have go viral. And it's insane to me that these things are real. They're not real. By the way, how's our poll coming? I think we have 53% of the vote so far. No, is Tom Brady better at being a quarterback than, let's say, Tiger Woods as a golfer or Michael Jordan as a shooting guard?
I'm actually surprised about that.
Yeah, I thought people would immediately say yes. Yeah, it is kind of, you know, it is hard though. I mean, I've been saying it's a complex question this morning. It is hard. It is hard to statistically analyze Brady at quarterback than let's say a sprinter like Usain Bolt or someone like that. It's very complex, but some sort of gut feeling of his accomplishments weighed on other accomplishments. What he is told, what he has to do, the, you know, like somebody brought up Bill Russell, which I think is a great point. Bill Russell is a good point. The problem is, let's be honest, but this is not to disparage Bill Russell. He's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But this, you know, the 1960s NBA is not as tough a competition as 2018 NFL, right? In terms of getting your team to a championship. That's not to say Bill Russell isn't great. Bill Russell is great. He's one of the greatest of all time. But to just lay it on, well, he has 11 championships. Okay, well, how easy was it to get a championship in the NBA in the 1960s?
Yeah, I imagine the hardest part of his job was traveling by bus.
Right, exactly. So again, Michael Phelps, well, that's really difficult. To do what Michael Phelps did, that's really hard to do. Like, there were times where I'm like, I couldn't believe Phelps was winning gold medals. Like in Beijing, I was like, that's insane. Yeah.
Eight for eight.
He's still winning? Like he's not having one bad race? Not one race where in a sport that is by the tenths of a hundredth of a second, he's not having one bad moment where he's like, oh, you know what? That breaststroke didn't work out so well, or I missed kicked on that push off. None of that. Like, he's perfect. Yeah. And then he goes to, he's winning gold medals everywhere. Remember the year, what was it, in Brazil? They were like, oh, here comes old man Phelps. And he still won gold medals. Yeah. Was still pouring him into his war chest.
No, he finished off. What did he finish off with? Like 23 gold medals.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah,
something
like that.
Ridiculous. It was like, exactly. Oh my God. Yeah, that's never going to be matched. Or you know, like Usain Bolt. I mean, was there any more of a given when the 100-meter dash came up? Or 100-meter dash came up that you sat there and went, you know what? Yeah, this guy's going to beat Usain Bolt. No, we never thought that.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's that iconic one where he's running along, people smiling, looking at him.
So it is a complex question, but listen, if I had asked the question, let's just take somebody else is better at his job. This is what I find interesting about this. So I've asked, is Tom Brady better at his job playing quarterback than any athlete? Is it theirs? Okay. Because Tom Brady leads the question, it's easier to find things to a T attack coming from up, right? Well, Michael Phelps, Tiger Woods, right? Or Michael Jordan, whatever. But if I had led with Tiger Woods, oh, I guarantee you it could have been, there would have been a Tom Brady in there too. Right. Is Tiger Woods better at golf than anybody is at their sport? Well, Tom Brady has been going to Super Bowls since, you know, 9 Super Bowls in this modern NFL, because the subject title, there is somebody to process with. What has Tom Brady done? What is his accomplishments? What kind of quarterback is he? Oh, well, I don't think he's better than Usain Bolt as a runner or Wayne Gretzky as an hockey. Great. That's fine. That's a great argument. But it's easy to attack up than it is to come down.
Yeah,
if I had left it general, name me the best athlete, name me the athlete who's better at his job than anybody else. Brady probably comes up 5 or 6 times in the conversation.
And the other thing I would say is this, like, you know, if we just exclude just professional athletes, I don't want to, you know, when we put it up there, it was like, no, let's not exclude the professional. But if we just exclude a professional athlete, that takes the Olympics out of it. Because obviously, you know, those guys aren't professionals that we know of.
Right.
But I would say at this stage, and I'm not trying to drink the hype juice that we just saw Brady do Brady things again. I honestly do feel that the only person that is a better professional athlete at his sport than Tom Brady is at being a quarterback is Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, that's a good point. Wayne Gretzky's stats are mind-boggling. All right, 800-777-2907. I will do a quick Super Bowl rewind on this date in Super Bowl history and get more thoughts on the AFC and NFC championship games from yesterday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when your battery loses its power, you lose your ability to get out, get around, and get things done. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the Super Start battery that's the exact fit for your vehicle. Whether it's reliable economy, hardworking premium, or powerful extreme, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the Super Start battery you need to at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, on this date in Super Bowl history, this is January 21st, at the Orange Bowl in Miami. It is the only Super Bowl on this date. It was Super Bowl 13, the Pittsburgh Steelers over the Dallas Cowboys, 35-31. Terry Bradshaw, the game's MVP. For the Cowboys, this is the game famously where Jackie Smith dropped a pass in the end zone. Right in his hands and dropped it. Dallas did rally in this game for 2 fourth quarter touchdowns, but it wasn't enough as the Steelers go on to their third Super Bowl victory. They would add another one in the next year, and it was their second victory over the Cowboys, and they were starting to build a very budding rivalry in the NFL on this date in 1979. The broadcasters, because I always like to bring up the broadcasters, were Kurt Gowdy, John Brody, and Merlin Olsen. And the game was on NBC. And the cost of a 30-second commercial in 1979, Ron, $185,000.
Chump change.
Chump change. The halftime show was Bob Janney Presents Carnival, A Salute to the Caribbean.
What?
Yep. That was the halftime show.
Sounds like something Bob Janney on the Love Boat.
Yes, exactly. With Isaac, your bartender.
Yeah.
Bob Janney Presents Carnival, A Salute to the Caribbean. And Gopher. Was that his Gopher?
Yeah, Gopher.
Was he your purser? Was that what
he was
doing?
I don't know.
Then there was Julie. She was your cruise attendant.
Yep.
And then there was Gavin McLeod, who was the captain, and his daughter, Vicky. So
it wasn't bad to look at.
They always went to Puerto Vallarta.
Can I bring something up here?
Yep, go ahead.
Because you were telling me about your tweet that you got from Michael.
Yes.
And I'm
going
looking,
to Brazil.
Yeah, and he sent you a picture of the resort he's staying
at. Yeah, it's very nice.
Does he need a companion?
I know. That's a really nice place to watch the Super Bowl and hang out, man.
Yeah.
It's got a lazy river and a big pool and cabanas. It's by the water. He's there for 2 weeks. Come on, man.
This does not look bad.
He says he's going to listen to the show while he's down there in Brazil jogging. Good. Thanks. While you're soaking up the rays in Brazil.
I don't know if I would jog.
I don't either. And it's summer down there, too, because it's below the equator,
exactly.
So it's very warm.
It's going to be very warm, very nice.
I don't know. Is it warm in Brazil all the time? It's a rather big country. So do they is it just warm anyway?
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter.
Well, I mean,
so
especially up around the rainforest, it's always warm.
It's always warm anyway.
The equator there. But I think for the most part, it's probably like Houston.
Yeah. Well done,
warm.
Michael.
There's probably some cold temperatures every once in a while, but
Send us pictures so we can live vicariously through you while you're
resort
there.
Just looks a lot
amazing.
Of fun.
Remember the World Cup? They played that one game. They played those one matches in the middle of the jungle. And they had that stadium in the middle of the jungle. Yep. And we're thinking, what are still we there. Doing? It's crazy.
Not being used. Still there.
That's still there. It's a white elephant. Just decaying.
They just needed. They needed to say like, "Oh, we're doing it all over the country. We do one in the rainforest," and even all the players are like, "Dude, seriously, man, it's like 150% humidity out here."
Exactly. Let's see. I got a friend of mine on Twitter, on Facebook, that's asking questions. He wrote, the Brady better at his job question. He put Jack Nicholson. Well, I like Jack Nicholson as the Joker in Five Easy Pieces, but I don't know if you mean Jack Nicholas.
I always thought Jack Nicholson was really, really good in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's
Nest. Yeah, Shining was a fantastic film.
You know what? And be honest with you, he was pretty outstanding in The Departed.
He was really good in The Departed. He played the Whitey Bulger type mobster. Remember that?
But I will say this about Jack Nicholson, is that he is a much better fan of his team than you are at yours.
That's right. He is, because he's willing to shell out a lot of money to sit courtside.
And not only courtside, he always sits next to the visiting team.
That's right. Who's the record producer that sits next to him?
I don't know.
I think it's some no-name guy. Oh, God, no-name guy. He sits next to Jack Nicholson. It's got to be somebody famous.
We don't care about him. We only care about Jack.
No, but he always sits next to a guy with glasses and a beard every game. And I'm wondering, all right, who sits there? Like, who gets that seat? Is that just I heard he's a record producer, but I'm like, all right, he's got to be a big enough record producer to get those seats. Because you think Jack Nicholson would let just any old L.A. schlub sit next to him on the bench? Are you kidding? He'd buy that seat outright. He'd be like, I'm not gonna let some doctor in Los Angeles buy that seat, a plastic surgeon or something.
He's not really a record producer.
No, he's not?
No, his name is Adler.
Okay, what does he do?
He owns the Roxy.
Oh, he does. Okay, so he's not a record producer, but he's somebody prominent enough.
I'm sure he's done... Okay. Some music.
Very good.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Lou Adler.
I've heard of him.
He was a Grammy Award-winning American record producer, music executive, talent manager, songwriter, film director, film producer, and co-owner of the famous Roxy Theater.
Perfect. I'm sure Jack Nicholson knows him, and they're fine. But yeah, you can't be just like hey, Jack, how are you? Who are you? I'm Harry. Yeah. I own 5 car washes in greater downtown L.A.
Part of his
sitting here tonight.
Part of his clan that he created or helped discover: Carole King, Jan and Dean, the Mamas and the Papas, and the Grassroots.
See, that's what I'm talking about. L.A. baby. Are they going to bring out the?
He also is the executive producer for the Rocky Horror Picture Show and discovered and produced comedy albums and films for Cheech and Chong.
Are we going to see the celebrities in Los Angeles jump out for the Rams now?
Of course.
Oh, are they all going to jump on that bandwagon?
Yes.
Right? Now, I have been a Rams fan ever since I moved to L.A. in 1972. Are we going to see that now? Is that what we're going to get?
You know
I'm going to get enough of Mark Wahlberg these next 2 weeks.
You know what? Boston disowned him.
And Ben Affleck and Matt Damon telling me how much, you know, Patriots are getting, you know, no respect going into Atlanta. I'm tired of it.
All right, just an early rundown of Rams fans. Now, this guy I actually do know. He goes to a lot of games. Ty Burrell,
okay.
From Modern Family.
All right, I've heard that.
Taron Killiam from Saturday Night Live.
I don't know who that is, but okay, great.
Let's see, scrolling through the list here. Flea and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, of course. Why wouldn't they be Rams fans? They're all about California.
They're from Southern California. Terry Crews.
It's their thing. Terry Crews, okay, I know that.
He was originally drafted by the Rams.
Good. Yeah, okay, that's legit.
So Old Spice Man will be there. Danny Trejo. You know what? You don't want to mess with him.
No, you don't want to mess with him.
But let him be the Rams fan.
No, he can be totally the man. Yeah, it's fine. I'm cool with that.
And let's see, Tom Morello.
Tom Morello, the guitarist?
Yep.
All right, very good. All right, we're starting to see some celebrities start popping out for the LA Rams. Good job.
Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick. Terminator? He was the Terminator, right?
Did he ever really have another role? I mean,
he was David Scatino in The Sopranos, the guy with the gambling addiction.
I know he's had a lot of good roles, but I mean,
but nothing big.
We always talk about him being the Terminator.
No, every time I see him in something else, I expect his hand to turn into a blade.
So, but here's the honorable mentions, and these are the ones that we will make fun of. Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
Holly Robinson Pete.
Please.
Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, give me a break. He doesn't even... I bet he couldn't name 2 players on the team. Get out of there with this nonsense that Seacrest is a Rams fan. He's probably telling his assistant, is there an NFL football team I could root for in this city? And she went, Rams, I think. Okay, then great. Give me a shirt.
And you know what? He will probably be at the Super Bowl because I think he's originally from Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
So he would be that Rams fan. It's like, oh, I'll kill 2 birds with 1 stone. I'll go visit Ma and... I'll be a Rams fan.
I will be blinded by the light of the Ryan Seacrest bulb when I get down there. They'll just take over all the spotlight. SB Nation AM. Gina Thomas coming up next. We'll talk football.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hi, Gina Thomas joins us, SB Nation, on the AFC and NFC Championship games. And a look, a two-week of hype for Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. Patriots and Rams. How are you, Gina?
Doing great, thanks. How are you?
Good. Let's get to the non-call, the pass interference in the Saints-Rams game. As far as looks for the NFL, look, is they're pretty much rolling along here, but the reality of it is this a bad look for the league, that call?
It's not a great look for the league. I think that it's certainly justified to be frustrated by that missed call. But I also think that you have to look at it in a larger context. There are blown calls in every single game, but referees do have a difficult job, you know, making those judgment calls in real time. And that's not the reason that the Saints lost. There's very rarely a singular reason that a team loses a game. You know, there are multiple things that added up to that. So I do think that it's not a great look for the league, but I also think that it may be blown just a little bit out of proportion.
Yeah, and I pointed it out. I think that the problem that we have as fans sometimes is we assume so much, right? If you miss a kick at the end of a tie game or you're trailing by two and you miss a kick, you can say, well, missing that kick cost us that game, but you can also point out too many mistakes. We would be assuming that the Saints don't turn over the ball, that the hold would have been accurate, that a kick would have gotten off, that there would have been no time for the Rams came back. There's so much assumption behind it. In terms of, though, the mistakes, were you surprised that the Saints, in that situation, were throwing the ball that late?
I was. I mean, that was really one of the bigger surprises of the game, I felt like. It was a questionable game management decision from Sean Payton. I don't know why, especially with Alvin Kamara in the backfield, you're not running the ball in that situation. So, yes, I definitely was surprised by that.
Give me an idea from the Rams. They're down 13-0 on the road. That's a very, very tough situation to be in, especially at the Superdome. Did you notice something about the Rams, the way they adjusted to get back into that game? It's not a huge mountain to overcome to be down two scores, but it's certainly enough in a loud place. How did they change the way they did things to get back into it?
You know, it looked early on like the noise in the Superdome was getting to Jared Goff. He is a younger quarterback, you know, a little bit less experienced, and I think that that playoff atmosphere in New Orleans is very intense. So I think that what happened more than anything was that he just kind of settled in. He looked more confident as the game progressed. I think that he got more accustomed to the silent count and adapted to not really being able to hear the play calls as they came in, and yeah, so I think that it was just him settling in as much as anything else.
When you look at the Saints, and listen, we see teams that are played really well, everything worked for them, and you say, oh, they'll be here next year, but we don't see them here next year. Is there still enough there, even with Drew Brees at 40, is there enough there to believe, okay, this is going to be a pretty good run for this collection of Saints?
There is. You know, they do have a lot of talent. I think they've done a really nice job of building that defense. And Brees still played at a very high level this year, despite his age. So I think that he will still be able to function effectively next year. That being said, this was just kind of a lightning in the bottle year for the Saints. They had the same record as they had in 2009 when they won the Super Bowl. They lost to the same teams in 2018 as they did in 2009 when they won the Super Bowl, and then, of course, took the NFC Championship game to overtime, just like they did in 2009. So they look like a team of destiny. And I think that, you know, that part of it, that lightning in the bottle aspect, is what they're going to have a hard time recreating next year.
Gina Thomas joins us, SB Nation, to talk about the AFC and NFC Championship games. All right, the New England Patriots defense held the Chiefs, the high-scoring Chiefs, to 7 points through three quarters. Yep, the game got more interesting in the fourth. But for three quarters of football, the Chiefs were held to 7 points. How did they do that?
I honestly don't even know. it was It was pretty unexpected, just especially after watching the Chiefs all season. They've been spectacular. So I honestly don't know what they did differently. I just was amazed that they were able to do it.
In terms of what the Patriots have done, I mean, this shouldn't have been any surprise given, but you know, they rode the underdog angle, but we've been kind of amazed at this, and we're getting used to the Patriots going back to Super Bowls, but yet it feels like every year I should be like, I shouldn't be amazed at this. This is the Patriots blueprint all along. They can come back in games. Nothing is big. They'll go anywhere and play their game and beat you. What does that say about who the Patriots are that we still are like, wow, they did it again?
Well, you know, I think that Falcons fans, and certainly I, know better than anybody else how dangerous the Patriots are in the postseason. Bill Belichick is just a master strategist when it comes to the game, and I think that that is probably what sets them apart more than anything. And also, Tom Brady being the kind of player that he is, you know, really the greatest quarterback of this era. And so you just can't count those guys out. It doesn't matter what's going on. I think that it really is Belichick's ability to keep sort of an emotional distance from the game and maintain that strategy and adapt it throughout the game to make sure that they pull it off. I think that that's the biggest thing.
We are an overreacting fan base. We go a little nuts sometimes, but the cry of let's change overtime, let's give both teams the ball no matter what, is that on the table? Is that a legit argument?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't happy with the overtime rules after Super Bowl 51, but they are what they are. I don't know if the team is going to be willing to make any changes there.
In terms of the Super Bowl in Atlanta, it has had the Super Bowl a few times, but Mercedes-Benz Stadium is a nice place. What those who are going or those who will experience it, what does the city of Atlanta, and how great is this going to be for the city? What is the city, how does it embrace the Super Bowl?
The city is doing a lot of fun things for the Super Bowl. There are a lot of fan-centric activities. They've got all of that stuff available online. But, yeah, I think that it's going to be a lot of fun. Atlanta's a great city. I'm hoping that we have slightly warmer weather. It's very, very cold here right now, but hopefully it'll ease up a little bit for when everybody's here in a couple of weeks. And, it should be a lot of fun. We're very excited about it, especially since, from Falcons fans' perspective, the Saints are not going to be there.
I can only imagine.
Everybody's a little bit happier.
But you get the Patriots who like to throw that 28-3 thing down everybody's throat, right? I mean,
yeah, but the thing is, every fan base throws the 28-3 thing down Falcons fans' throats, and at least Patriots fans were on the right side of that. It was actually their team. It's a little bit different from when a Saints fan reminds you of 28.
Very true. Good point. As far as a matchup for the league, I love this. I mean, this is old versus new. Belichick, McVay, Goff, Brady. There's so many cool angles to this Super Bowl. What do you think is the prevailing angle to this game? What is the top storyline going in?
You know, I think that probably the top one has to be the Patriots again. I think that everybody but Patriots fans is very tired of this rerun. We would have all loved to see somebody else in there this year. The Chiefs would have been a lot of fun. They were a delightful team to watch all year. So I think that that's one. And then, you know, of course, shifting the focus to if Tom Brady wins another ring, will he finally decide to hang it up? And what does that mean for Belichick's future in New England? Yeah. So I think that that's a narrative that we're going to hear a lot about this offseason. And we'll probably hear quite a bit about, you know, the young guns on the other side of the ball, McVay, or on the other side of the field, McVay and Jared Goff, and, you know, just how talented that team is and how hard they had to work to get there. And so, yeah, I think that it's going to be, we should have some interesting storylines. At least with the Rams coming in, we'll have some different ones than we've all heard over the past several years.
Gina Thomas, SB Nation, AFC and NFC Championship Talk, Super Bowl 53 in her hometown of Atlanta. Appreciate it, Gina, as always. Hope to catch up with you soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You got it. Have they released any food items for the stadium that are Atlanta-specific, Atlanta cuisine? I don't think they have yet. I don't even know what Atlanta cuisine is. Like, if you had the Super Bowl in New Orleans, you'd have, you know, could have put some gumbo, po' boy sandwiches up there, right? Cool New Orleans stuff. Like a little seafood if it was in, I don't know, some other coastal town. I don't like barbecue in Houston, that kind of thing. But I don't know in Atlanta what is distinctly Atlanta. for the Super Bowl fair at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I don't know. It should be good. I hope the weather is warmer. I agree with her. It's one thing that, you know, obviously, when you have a Super Bowl indoors, it's pretty cool. But when you have a Super Bowl in cold weather cities in July and January and February, like Indianapolis, Minnesota. Yeah, it's dome, but still outdoor stuff. You got to put people in. It's a whole celebration. You know, everybody's kind of hanging around, you know, chilling out. I like it when it's in Miami, like when the Super Bowl's in Miami and they show the beaches and people on the beaches and you're stuck in some cold weather town looking at the Super Bowl life and you're like, oh my God, it's 82 degrees down there and it's 5 degrees below zero. I'm shoveling snow. Saturday, where I live in Nashville, Saturday was near, it was in the 60s on Saturday, and then it plummeted into the 20s. You know what happens when people in from the South have weather that plummets like that sometimes? They go crazy. Right, they go, oh, I'm not going to drive. I'm not going to, that's freezing temperatures.
That and they get sick.
They get sick, right? You can't go from 60 degrees and no jacket to 20-something degrees and needing, like, winter gear.
And the problem is, none of us have winter gear.
None of you? No. Why would you have winter gear, right? That's nuts. Yeah,
then we just throw on layers. I'd, like, you know, get, like, 5 sweatshirts on. It looks like that one kid in Christmas Story can't put his arms down.
That's right. I got a couple of responses already. I put this question about Brady and his job compared to other athletes at their job. I got a number of responses already, including Edwin Moses, the hurdler, right? Edwin Moses was a hurdler? See, yeah. If I have to think about that, it's going to be problematic for me.
Yep.
Nope. I'm not going to be able to
that
think about
that. That doesn't
count. What about Pelé or Mario Lemieux? Listen, I'm not going down the Mario Lemieux rabbit hole with you people.
No.
Hey. Are you kidding me? If we're going to go hockey, it's Wayne Gretzky or zero people.
Exactly.
All right? If you don't bring up Mario Lemieux to me. Mario Lemieux is fantastic, but he's not the best. He's not even the best in his own sport. That belongs to Wayne Gretzky by 100 miles. I'm sorry. Don't give me the Mario Lemieux lecture.
I've always felt that way. I can't
believe God, it. People bring him up all the time, I love him, but God.
I always figured it was just isolated just to Pittsburgh. That Mario fandom was isolated Pittsburgh. And I said, you know what? I get it. It's the same thing. You brought up Pelé, right? I've always assumed, and I will always say this, and I grew up watching soccer. Pelé was the greatest soccer player that ever lived.
Yes.
By no means is Maradona. Maradona was a great player, but I can't put Maradona in the same conversation. The only reason why his name keeps coming up because it's Brazil against Argentina.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And they try to keep that rivalry for everything.
Stop with Mario Lemieux. I mean, it happens all the time. It drives me crazy. Yeah. Like, look at the statistics in the NHL.
I'm
going to say it again because people need to realize this about Gretzky. You get a point for a goal, and you get a point for an assist, and then you get your career points, in case you don't know how it works, okay? So you get a goal, point for a goal, point for assist. Wayne Gretzky has more points with his assists then the second guy has total points. That means, and I'm gonna put this in perspective for you. That means if Wayne Gretzky scored 0 goals for his entire career, never once lit the lamp, never lit the lamp, he'd still be the NHL points leader.
And wasn't
that's how insane that is.
The other thing too, like when he finally retired, didn't he have nearly like it was? I don't know if the numbers are correct, but I know he finished with almost triple digits in records.
Yeah, exactly. Like
like every minute little detail of, you know, game style records. And I think he still has over 80 NHL records.
The answer to our question about Brady being the best at his job probably comes down to no because of Gretzky.
Right.
Rather than anybody else. And sorry, I don't mean to get off crazy on the Mario Lemieux stuff, but I've heard this. People say this to me all the time about Mario Lemieux. You know, you don't understand hockey, man. Mario Lemieux. No, he's not. Stop. No, he's not. He's a great player, fantastic player, great champion. He is not the best player to have ever laced up. You're insane. You're just creating an argument that doesn't exist.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but they played against each other, right?
I think, yeah.
So, we can do an apples-to-apples comparison.
Of course, yes.
As opposed to, you know, we always try to compare, who's better, Jordan or LeBron? It's like, well, different eras. They never really played against each other. And, you know, you can always make an excuse. But these two guys, they played against each other. So we can do an apples-to-apples comparison.
Absolutely. I think Gretzky is the right answer. I mean, again, another one, a friend of mine, Henry Richard, 11 Stanley Cups. Again, don't go championships. That's another rabbit hole. Be careful of that rabbit hole. There's other ways to look at this, other ways to dissect it than just he was on championships. Like when you tell me, 11 Stanley Cups. Okay, how many teams were in the league? 6 at the time? 10, 12, 20, 32? I don't care. Just tell me, like, in context with that question. All right, 800-777-2907, or hit me up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Hit Ron up at Ron Culver and Ron with 2 N's on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, Blue Emu Lidocaine Cream and Maximum Arthritis Cream, both de-penetrating and odor-free. Beat the pain two ways and live life. Blue Emu, it works fast and you won't stink. Available at nationwide stores. Yeah, I think we should have changed the poll question. Is Wayne Gretzky better at his job than anybody else in sports? Would you say 61 NHL records when we looked it up?
61 NHL records.
Not going to be looked up. He's not going to be beaten by that. I do want to say about the Mario Lemieux thing. I have heard many times it's like, well, Gretzky benefited from a different kind of NHL. Whatever. Okay.
Wear helmets.
Whatever. Okay. Fine. if that's your reasoning, great. If that's your reasoning for denying, thinking one player is better than a guy that doesn't even have to score goals to be the all-time points leader, then take your pick.
I'm going to say Gretzky played in a more dangerous NHL.
Yeah. Maybe. Yes. Exactly.
I'm looking at some of his records. Right. There's a list of his, 23 unbreakable records? It's just ridiculous.
It's crazy. And Brady doesn't have many records at all. Like,
no,
he's not the all-time passing leader. He's not the all-time touchdown leader. He's not the, all he does is go to Super Bowls all the time. There was a great meme, by the way, my son pointed out. There was Tom Brady that said, I don't always go to the AFC Championship, but when I do, it's all the time. Yeah, it's all the time. It's all the time.
All the time.
It's all the time. SB Nation AM.